in line, do you?
Yeah, that's Magnus.
One, two. One, two. Two. One, two.
Bit high, isn't it?
Pull that back a bit.
It'll be fun.
Slot. up here with the microphone?
Yeah, can.
Just click that. There's like a little clip there, and it'll just spin. Might go on to you.
Do I have to work it? Do I have to switch it on and off?
No.
All right.
Just leave it on. I'll turn the volume down like it is now.
Thank
and
you.
I'll just bring it up when you need it.
That's great. Thank you.
That's all right.
Too much bother, could you announce the afternoon service on Wednesday?
Okay.
Because they've forgotten to put it on the weekly notices.
Okay. So it's this coming Wednesday at 12?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we have lunch afterwards. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll just say the prayer.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was at Moorsworth this morning and sometimes it's
Reverend.
All right,
it was.
Yes, okay.
So, welcome to Poynton.
Thank
and,
you.
We're looking forward to this afternoon service.
Thank you very much. Thank
she's
you.
Been preaching at Portsmouth this morning, so she is a bit in a rush, isn't it, to do two services in one.
That's all right.
So, thank you very much.
Thank you. Shall I stand here? Is that
that's
appropriate? Yes. Well, thank you ever so much for your welcome. Sorry I look a bit... three sheets to the wind, I think. I think it's something to do with the autumnal blowing. But the colours are just gorgeous in this part of the world, I have to say. Really moved about that. It's lovely. And I thought, as a call to worship, it seemed appropriate to use one of the Psalms to remind ourselves of God's beautiful world. One of the Psalms says this to begin... It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. It is good to praise you in the beauty of the countryside and in the beautiful world that the Lord has blessed us with. So it is good to come together. I took the opportunity yesterday morning to make a trip up to over Alderley to look at to see the burial site there, but also to go up to Green Close and discover where that is and was. And so I come with a little bit of knowledge of something of this service today, and it was good to be able to just see where that was. So, lovely to be sharing with you this afternoon, and I hope that we can sing praises and share a word of the Lord's goodness to us. The hymn that I would like us to begin our worship with is Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. It's number 88 in Singing the Faith, and obviously it's based, again, on one of the Psalms, Psalm 104, but it reminds us about all the things that we bless and praise God for. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Time to pray and offer our prayers of thanksgiving, our prayers of praise and adoration. Gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice to be in your presence in this time of worship, this time of praise, this time of reflection. We praise you for the signs of seasons turning, the beauty of the world around, the colours and the crispness of the leaves, the swirling of the wind, the rain that comes to make things grow, as well as the sun that shines its warmth. Lord, you have granted to us a beautiful creation to enjoy and resource and steward, and we praise you. We praise you for this part of your kingdom that so clearly paints the beauty of your hand. And we feast our eyes on the colour and all that you have given us to rejoice in. We praise you that you are a God mighty and yet personal, known to each and every one of us through close relationship. And we give you thanks that today we can meet in your presence to praise you for giving us Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection gives us hope everlasting. And we thank you, Jesus, that we meet in your name, you who have called us, who have called us to be your disciples, to meet and to praise you, and to wait on your word. And we praise you, Lord, that through the giving of your Holy Spirit, here on earth, left, as it were, to lead us and guide us, to sanctify us, to make us whole, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are amongst us and ministering to us. And through the words of the hymn and the music and all that is shared, we pray that you will bind us into one worshipping community and that you will speak to us. Father God, Creator, Jesus, Saviour, Redeemer, Holy Spirit, Life Giver, all praise and honour and worship are due your name. And as we meet in your holy presence, Lord, we recognise that we are in need of your grace, in need of your mercy and healing. In this place of prayer and worship, we take a moment before you to acknowledge our sin, our need to ask for your forgiveness. Lord, we are your children and we make mistakes. We hurt others. We hurt you by the things that we do and the things perhaps that we omit to do. And even today, perhaps there are things that we want to offer to you and ask your cleansing for. Lord, in the quietness, we offer our prayers of confession to you. Gracious Lord, Jesus, your Son, we thank you for those words that say, in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven us to the uttermost. And we are given that new beginning, that hope in you, cleansed and refreshed. Help us to claim that word of forgiveness and peace, that it may strengthen us for the week ahead, for the day ahead, for all that is in store for us. Thank you for your overflowing grace that never leaves us. And we pray that we may walk in the light of that truth, that we may be inspired to follow your word, to serve your people, and to honour your name in this world. So take us and lead us and guide us, we pray, and help us to worship you this day. Prayers are offered in and through the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Amen. For our two readings this afternoon, I've taken one of the readings that's for our lectionary today, which will come to us from 2 Timothy, and one of the readings from the Gospels, and I will explain the reading from the Gospel and why that has been chosen in a moment or two. But I wonder if we could listen to the reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, the epistle reading.
And this reading is from the first of Paul's letters to Timothy. Starting chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learnt and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather round them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
And I wonder if we could listen to the Gospel reading now from Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, reading verses 1 to 9. Are you reading? Yes, lovely. Would you like to come and... Yes, would you like to do it now? That would be good. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Oh, sorry, I've got the wrong book. Sorry. It's all right. Good afternoon, everyone. The New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 9. The heading is Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him in every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the way. When you enter a house, just say, "Peace to this house." If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are well, welcome, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick and are there and tell them, "The kingdom of God is near you." Amen. Thanks be to our Heavenly Father for that passage.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to our two readers today. Really helpful, thank you. Following on from those two readings that highlight the work of Scripture and also the calling of Jesus and the work of Jesus, I thought we would sing together 248. And the hymn says, "I heard the voice of Jesus say." We may be coming to worship with a hope and expectancy that there'll be something for us, especially for us, that might come from one of the readings that we've heard, one of the prayers. Again, this hymn invites us to meditate on some of the ways in which Jesus described himself and some of the gifts and graces that he bestows on us as we wait on him and as we listen. Some of us might need the healing balm of Jesus today. Some of us might need the inspiration of Jesus, of his light and the word of God. So we sing this lovely hymn, 248, "I heard the voice of Jesus say." The opportunity to share a little with you in this afternoon service, and I think it's a really grand idea that you meet to share worship as such. I know Alan Rashley was on standby just in case I didn't make it from Macclesfield to here, but I've made it, thankfully. With the wind behind me, it was fine, and it's good to share with you. Those two passages that we heard read, for different reasons, as I said before, I wanted us to listen to them, and I share just a few thoughts about each of them in slightly different ways. The passage from Luke, chapter 10, comes as one of the passages that is highlighted for us on what is often termed St. Luke's Day. And for those of you who know, St. Luke's Day was celebrated yesterday on the 18th of October. Now, I highlight that because my very first church was called St. Luke's a few years ago now, and in some ways, not that this area is my first church by any means, but it feels like, again, at a kind of beginning moment. And those two readings highlight for me beginnings in different ways, beginnings of ministry, beginnings of the gospel, beginnings of sharings. Anyway, St. Luke's was the church that I came to, and it was just around the corner. And I remember being surprised to find that a Methodist church was bearing that name. So I thought that there must be a bit of a story behind it. And of course there was. A dear lady called Jenny Jardine, who met me very first of all, was probably the oldest member of the church at the time. She'd been a steward, she still was, and she was a Sunday school teacher, possibly the Sunday school superintendent, but my memory fades a little bit. But she was a grand lady, short, but very powerful lady. Anyway, she said to me that when the church was being built, and it was a fairly new church, she said the work had been completed and it was going to be completed around October time. Well, anyway, there was a time when they had to name the church. What was it going to be called? And she put forward the name of St. Luke. And again, everybody said, I don't think we can call it St. Luke's, you know. But she said, there are reasons for that. It coincides with St. Luke's Day. And St. Luke, for me, she said, was a very, very important gospel writer. And When they were talking about what the remit of the church would be, what its welcome space would be, there was the feeling that it needed to be a place of healing, a place of grace, a place of mercy. I guess in today's language it would be called a safe space, a place where people could come and go and be. They didn't necessarily have to be all things. You know, they came with who they were and would be accepted as they were. A place of acceptance and welcome, a safe place to be. But she said it was so important, and the story was, it was so important that the gospel would be preached, because this was to be a place where souls would be saved, where salvation was high, and where people could come and go but know the work of Jesus and know that relationship with God would bring a healing and a peace and a faith and a trust that the world just couldn't offer. And the feeling was, well, that's what we want church to be. We want it to be a place where people can come and worship and just be themselves and know themselves loved and accepted for who they were, and a place where they could come and find healing. So, to name the church after one of the gospel writers, and particularly St. Luke, the doctor by profession, the physician, and also bearing the unique distinction amongst the gospel writers, amongst the New Testament writers, in fact, who was a Gentile, who was not the Jew, who was coming from maybe slightly outside, seemed really to fit the bill. And when we read Luke's Gospel, and we heard a portion of it, when we hear and read, we find stories of humble shepherds worshipping Jesus, being called tax collectors, prostitutes, lepers, thieves, finding forgiveness and grace. A gospel that features women and children who wouldn't necessarily have been featured in that time. A place where people of all nationalities and colours and races would find a home. It felt a good place to be a church, a place where all could come, all comers could come and hear the word of Jesus. And the word that we heard from the Gospels, from Luke 10, highlights that mission, doesn't it? It comes as the second kind of sending out that Jesus does. I think the first was the 12 disciples that Jesus sent out on mission. And here in that Gospel reading, we heard about the sending out of the 72, or the 70, as in some interpretations. A significant symbolic word. But Jesus sending them out, go out and preach and share the kingdom, preach the word, sent out in partnership, two by two, not on their own, but having a companion, somebody to pray for them and somebody to be with, somebody to work with. And partnerships come in all shapes and sizes, as we know. And those callings that Jesus stressed when he was saying about sharing the gospel, they need to travel light, not to be encumbered with lots of material articles. And you know, that is so true, sisters and brothers. As somebody who has just moved with piles and piles of boxes, I'm thinking I need to trim things down. Jesus was right when he said, travel light. Don't be encumbered necessarily with material things. And concentrating on the task in hand. You know, not being swayed by a conversation maybe on the route, but just being intentional, focused, because there's an urgency about this message, an urgency about the witness, an urgency about the mission. And then that calling, finding places to stay where you were welcomed, experiencing the hospitality, the peace, where people are prepared to sit down and talk, share food, share cake, share drink, share fellowship, where there is a welcome. Stay there, Jesus says to those 72 that he sends out, and leave that greeting of peace, that blessing of peace. A blessing of peace that comes to the people who share in that fellowship, but a blessing of peace too that goes with the one who comes. And I am sure you're a fellowship that shares peace and welcome and hospitality. I have heard a little about that. And your story goes before you of a people that care for others and share peace. Jesus instructs them to heal the sick. Good Lucan message. Heal the sick who come and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. What a mandate, what a mission, what a witness. The kingdom of God is near us. And we go back to the beginning where it says that intention, you know, because the workers are few and the harvest is much. The harvest is great. I always see this as a sort of a mission and sending out calling at this time of the year, harvest time. We've celebrated, I'm sure, the harvest of the field, the harvest of the supermarket maybe, the harvest of the allotment, the harvest of skill. And here Jesus, and probably the harvest of souls too. But here Jesus is saying, you know, people need to hear the gospel. And how much that is true for our area, our locality, our country, our nation today. And we are tasked with that again. We're tasked with that. Jesus calls us. He knows us. And he entrusts that message to us as disciples, as modern day disciples. As my lady at St. Luke's knew, she knew that she'd been tasked with the gospel. A single lady who lived well into her 90s, but served her Lord so faithfully. But she always would say, you know, we've got to share the gospel because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. She was one of the few, and her story is told, as I've told today. So that was one of the readings why, that was one of the reasons why, it was one of the many reasons I chose that passage today, partly because of the time of the year, but mainly because it is such a message, again, to keep reminding me and to keep sharing. We are people who form church that welcomes others, that blesses others with the peace of the Lord, that prays, that heals, that accepts, that calls into that relationship of belonging and mirrors the love and the welcome of Jesus. And then we have that wonderful epistle reading, which is one of the set epistles for today. And we are following through in the lectionary the epistles of Timothy, to Timothy, as it were. And we're at 2 Timothy, towards the end of Paul's writings to his young colleague. And again, he speaks about the spiritual resources that we as disciples are blessed with. We've heard from God's word. All scripture is God-breathed, Paul reminds Timothy. It's useful. Learn it. Imbibe it. Trust it. I'm sure those early disciples heard more and more about that word. But trust and share it. Young Timothy was known for being a bit shy and a bit nervous and perhaps a bit fearful. He was in a difficult situation. It was a larger church and, you know, he was in the early stages of his work. But still, Paul was clear, share the word in season and out season. Don't be scared to do that. The gospel is powerful. Folk need to hear it and do the work of an evangelist. I believe that we're all called to be witnesses. Some are called to be evangelists, perhaps in a very particular way. But in our different ways, through action as well as through word, we are called by Jesus to be our own little witnesses and evangelists. And today, as we hear that word from Jesus, sending out the 12, sending out the 72, and as we hear Paul entrusting his message to his young compatriot, saying, you know, share that word of hope in season and out of season. So it's wonderful that you continue to do that. And I pray that you will find the strength to do that, even when lots of false teachings and fake news and all sorts of things are crowding in and making it harder, perhaps, for the real word of Jesus, the real message of hope, the real cure of souls, to be heard and to be won. We sang, I heard the voice of Jesus say. I wonder what we hear the voice of Jesus saying to us today. Again, we might come with a need for comfort, but we might also come with a need to hear again, to be inspired again by the writings of Luke, to share the word, to heal the sick, to be a place where others are welcomed and loved and introduced to the gospel. Or some of us might even be young Timothys, older Timothys, sharing that word. I know some of us amongst us are preachers and leaders and all sorts of ways in which we share that word of God. But many of us, I'm sure, are going about our daily business regularly, just sharing that word. So I leave those scriptures with you, and I leave that promise that all scripture is God-breathed. Our gathering today reminds me of a gathering that in the circuit where I've just left that used to meet monthly on an afternoon. And what they would do at the end of the service, towards the end of the service, they would send around a promise box. I don't know whether you, with little rolls of scripture. And everybody would take one of the scriptures, little verse of scripture, and then they would go around and read it. Now, you may feel that was just plucking scripture out, but actually it was so often true that we would say the Holy Spirit was really working, because the word or the verse or the promise that what somebody would read and receive would often speak to them in a way and reassure them of God's presence, God's power and God's strength. So perhaps there's a word of scripture, perhaps there's a word of hope a word of promise that speaks to you today. Jesus is your light. Jesus is your peace. Jesus loves you. Jesus calls you to share the gospel. May God bless you as you continue to do that in word and deed, in home, in the locality, through your church. And we pause for a moment to pray. Loving Lord Jesus, speak your word of healing. Speak your word of peace. Speak your word of inspiration. Speak your word of gospel truth. Feed us on our journey. Encourage us in our mission. Strengthen us in our witness. Lord, we think of those that we are called particularly to serve. Those that we are called to share an action or word or attitude that speaks of you. Help us and strengthen us as we share your gospel with our family, with our friends, with the community, with those who need to hear, who are on the margins, who feel perhaps neglected or left out, not welcomed. May we be agents of truth, disciples of your word, so that more and more others may hear and see the reality of your love and your peace. And we pray, Lord, today, perhaps particularly for those that we know you lay on our hearts who need your healing work within. You sent your disciples out to heal the sick. We bring to you those names and faces and people whom we know are sick in mind, body or spirit and need that work of grace and comfort. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as maybe our vision goes a little bit beyond what we know, we recognise that within your world, there is such a need for the word of peace, healing, mercy and grace. We bring to you those many concerns that we have for some of the deeply disturbing world situations before us. We give thanks for the hope and the promise, perhaps, of peace that is emerging from your holy land at this time. But we pray that the fragile peace may hold. And we pray for those in Gaza, in Israel, in that wider area who are striving and praying and working so hard that peace may be restored. And that young and old may again rest in homes and livelihoods. Lord, our prayers go out for the Middle East. And similarly for the crisis that continues between Ukraine and Russia, again, peace is needed and we pray for it. And for any other concerns, particularly on our hearts and minds, within your world, the need for those to be raised up who are peacemakers and work in partnership with others to bring justice and healing and grace to a hurting world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we take a moment to pray for your church, the wider church, your church particularly here, and this congregation. Breathe your spirit of hope, scripture, and truth, so that we might be modern day disciples, energized and inspired to lead others to your throne. Gracious God, we pray that you will receive the prayers of our hearts, the prayers spoken and the many unspoken, in and through the precious name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. And together, let us share in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I thought we would close our time together this afternoon by singing one of the, our time of worship together, by singing one of the Wesley hymns that always speaks to me about our calling, our faith, our trust in Jesus. O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart. It's 564, and it speaks again about that gospel calling. And that gospel calling that held Timothy in his work. O thou who camest from above. So we ask, Lord God, that you would give us the grace and the strength to fulfil your high calling that you place on each and every one of us. And as we go from this place, may your blessing of grace and peace be upon us and upon all that we think of and pray for this day. And we share in that word of grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Thank you for your lovely playing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have you had any lunch?
I had a sandwich. Thank you.
Thanks very much for doing that. Thank you.